following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to episode 8 of Transfer Season. I'm DJ Parsh, and joining me today is my fellow teammate from the Dominican men's soccer team, Cissé Abubakar. Cissé is also a sophomore and is majoring in business administration. He is a SoCal native from Temecula, California, just north of San Diego. Cissé, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
So I just want to start off by asking you, what drew you to Dominican, and ultimately, why did you decide to come here to continue your academic and athletic career?
Funny story is, actually, I was first committed to Cal Poly Pomona to play soccer. But if you know Max Ward on our team, me and him have been playing together since we were younger, 6th grade, 7th. And I remember, like, after committing to Cal Poly Pomona, Dominican hit me up, and I was like, what is this school? But then I realized that Max Ward actually went here. So I hit him up and told him, like, how the school was. And he told me, like, this was a great school, and he loved being here. So I actually just came here because, to be honest, I was just trying to miss school. But then I ended up enjoying the visit. I got to meet Dave Frank, and he gave me, like, a visit of my lifetime. So I decommitted from Cal Poly Pomona and decided to come here. As you can see, this place is a great area to be. And like I felt like the team was a young and upcoming team, and we could accomplish a lot. That's one of my biggest reasons why I'm here.
Do you think decommitting from Cal Poly Pomona and committing here, do you think that was the right decision for you? And how do you value something like that? Like, what goes into that decision process?
A lot goes into that. To answer your first question, definitely yes. Like, now after going 2 years of college, I could not imagine myself being anywhere else. And while that process was happening, you know, you got family, especially for someone who's from SoCal. This place is pretty far from, like, back home. So that was huge. But I just wanted to make the best choice for me as a person and as a soccer player. And I believe I haven't regret that.
So in your past 2 years at Dominican, obviously there's been a lot of ups and downs. You know, you've had a lot to deal with COVID and all. What's been your overall favorite memory on and off the field?
One of my favorite moments on the field was playing our first D1 team, Sac State. I just remember the environment. Like, there was a lot of players, like, for us playing for our first few, like, I think that was a lot of the guys' first games, like, for competitive level. So that was, like, really fun for me. And a lot of fans came out to watch. I thought that was, like, probably the biggest crowd since being in college, to be honest. And off the field, I would say I enjoyed those moments at the SoCal trips. Because, you know, you just get to build, chemistry. And just the relationship with your teammates just go beyond just teammates. I feel like I was able to finally call my teammates brothers, because you're spending time with each other. You go out to eat together after games. And just at this school, there's, like, probably some of us have friends or girlfriends outside of our team. But when you go on those trips, you're basically just with each other. No one else knows you. So I thought that, like, those trips were really fun for me.
Yeah, definitely some lifelong memories on those SoCal trips. I can remember going to the beach in San Diego, going out to eat dinner, you know, just really fun memories with the team, things that you'll remember long past your college career. So we talked about being a college athlete, and you yourself, you are a Division II college athlete. You are also Muslim, yes? We are about a week into Ramadan now. And many athletes have to deal with this, but I've never really talked to an athlete one-on-one on what it's like to deal with fasting through Ramadan at the same time as being a high-level athlete. So what do you think is the hardest thing to overcome as an athlete when participating in the fasting element of this holiday? And what are some steps that you are taking in order to still compete at the highest level of your ability?
With that question, I would say that it's very hard at this level to actually do it, because I'm going to start off by telling you a story. When I was younger in club at the club level, I was doing this. But at that time, I would play games around 3 o'clock or train around like 5:30. And you usually break your fast around 7:30-ish. So for that was like a little bit easier, because you could go through a hard day of like game or training, and you can just, after that, you're going to break your fast, not very long. But now we have, as you know, we have our trainings at like 9 o'clock. And with that, it's very hard, especially having classes, the energy, to keep your energy throughout the day. Like, I catch a lot of my self sometimes just wanting to fall asleep, not having enough energy to really be able to gain the knowledge that I'm doing, like trying to learn from those teachers. But some things I have done to like help with that, it has been, now I try to wake up before like it's the time to cut off eating, to actually eat. Because when I was younger, I would just eat at dinner, and from that point on, I really did not eat from that point on. But now it's much harder to do that when you have a training at 9, and then you have about 14 hours or 8 hours of, from 14 to 8 hours to actually fast. It's a lot harder, to be honest. So that's, at least that's one thing I've changed, is eating in the morning, just to make sure I'm able to go out throughout the day. And just making sure you're not eating a lot too. Try not to eat a lot during this time, because if my body's used to eating a lot, it's just, that's when I struggle with it. So I try to not eat as much and just keep like myself with little meals. Maybe like, usually it's after fasting, like the time is done, I eat a small meal, pray, then I usually eat like a pretty solid meal. Not like a big meal, but like a solid meal. And then after that, I just go to bed, or do, if I have any homework to do, then wake up around 5 o'clock, eat another small meal, and then from that point on, I'm basically ready for the day.
Yeah, I know there's a lot in that I didn't realize you and so many others have to go through during this month-long celebration, but it's definitely something that intrigued me that I just wanted to ask you, because it just seems like a very tough commitment, but you still do it and you still reap the benefits of this every single year, so I applaud you for that. So moving on to your biggest strengths and weaknesses, what would you say is, one, your biggest strength as a player, as well as something maybe you'd like to work on for future years to come?
One of my biggest strengths, like, to be honest with you, is just my communication and my love for the game. I think that at this, like, I'm proud to make it this far, so I try to get the best out of myself every day when I come to the field. And I'm thankful to be part of a team that a lot of the guys are able to just, or have as much love for the game as I do. So I think my biggest strength is my communication. I think I don't struggle to tell people my opinion. Not that I can say it perfectly, but I'm always in mind of like others and what they have to say. But I feel like it's easy for me to be able to say a lot of my opinions. So. And then my biggest weakness, probably build off that, I can sometimes watch how I can react. You know, in the toughest moments for athletes or trainings and a lot of moments, it's hard to always control your emotions. As for example, you just saw for a lot, Ronaldo, one of the best players in the world. In the heatest moment after a loss, it's hard for you to react, no matter, but you just got to hold yourself at a higher level and just be able to be patient in that moment. And that's something I would like to improve in.
Yeah, Ronaldo smashing that dude's phone was something to watch. That was pretty crazy. I think he's going to have to pay like maybe $1 million at least in lawsuit damages or something like that, which is crazy to think of. But yeah, no, you definitely, you get on me at practice a lot. You get on a lot of set practice, which is definitely something that's valued at any level. You want someone who's going to be honest with you and not just tell you how good you are all the time, because no one can improve if you're just telling them how good they are. You want to know what you can work on. So that's something that I admire and something that I like when you bring to practice. So there are quite a few professional athletes who go through the same thing that you are currently going through in Ramadan and fasting, while they're also playing their sport to the highest level that they can. Who's a professional athlete? Who's a soccer player that you emulate your game after? Who's a player that you look at them and you're like, I see myself in them, or you see them in yourself as a player?
You can say from, like, to be honest with you, to answer that question, I like basketball a lot. So I try to say, like, I kind of try to play like Chris Paul does in basketball and soccer, meaning that he takes in, like, to heart that he wants to be the best passer out there, help everyone, not really be always trying to score. As you can see, when it's time to score, he scores. He knows how to score, but he just comes in to do his job at the best he can, which his job is to make sure everyone is at the right spot. And as a midfielder, I kind of have the same role. So I kind of come in and just try to bring that, meaning that, like, as you can, a lot of our teammates and coaches get on me for not shooting the ball, and I still really don't really shoot the ball, because I enjoy passing to others and making sure that, like, everyone is doing their job. And for soccer, some of my favorite players of all time are Iniesta, Barcelona, big time. Just, he played with flair, relax, always calm on the ball. Zinedine Zidane was one of my favorite players. Just, they always played with calmness, which I always loved. I would say also Xavi, the Barcelona coach now. I was, as a kid in Africa, we always only were able to watch Champions League soccer. So I was always watching those Barcelona at like 7 o'clock at night, just sitting up the tree and, you know, watching those guys and enjoying those moments. So those probably are the guys that I would say I try to play like.
So growing up in Senegal, how long did you live in Senegal for?
About 8 years.
8 years. Wow. So I find it interesting how you didn't name any Senegalese players or any African players, and you went straight to basketball. That was pretty funny. Chris Paul, I mean, obviously Chris Paul is a great, great NBA player, and the guys, the soccer players you mentioned, Xavi, Iniesta, those are amazing world-class players. I just find it interesting how you didn't really name any current players in today's game, at least in soccer. You named old players, which I like. That shows where your mind is at. It shows how you think on and off the field, which is pretty interesting. So moving on to more of a college topic, growing up, did you have any specific big college school that you rooted for, like maybe UCLA, USC, given that you're from, grew up in Southern California?
To be honest, like, none of those schools I really rooted for. I would say I loved Duke. Anything about Duke, I was a fan of. Just, they always produced the best of players basketball-wise. And at the level of college, basketball is really up there for, like, P fans. So as a fan, I was always watching Duke. And I always admired how Coach K coached. I was in love with him as a coach. And that's funny that you asked that question, that he just retired this year. But I would say I was a huge fan of Duke growing up. Football-wise, I would say, like, I really wasn't a fan of football when I was younger. Now I am, and I kind of root for UCLA since one of my high school mates actually goes to UCLA. So I do root for them a little bit. But I feel like I always tell people now, we're the Duke of Division II, but I'm a big fan of Duke.
I didn't think I'd hear Duke from you, to be honest. Me, myself, I'm not the biggest Duke fan. I'm definitely not the biggest Coach K supporter, but I can't deny his greatness or their greatness as a program. But so obviously you know that college players can get paid now. That's kind of what my whole spiel is about. Do you have any name, image, and likeness? Do you have any deals, name, image, and likeness deals, or do you have any brands that you would like to partner with if you could?
Yeah, like, as an athlete, I dream of, like, the biggest of them all. But if we're talking about just around here, like, honestly, I've thought about this. I actually made a joke to one of our teammates, Sean. I told him, hey, after going to Planet Juice, I'm like, I'm going to ask them to give me a deal soon. You know, maybe help them out and just only be able to get free drinks, but not even get paid, just free drinks. But I'm advertising their drink on social media, because I've realized that they really don't have a big social media campaign. So maybe if I play well next year, you know, we do well as a team, I can start off there. But I would dream to be like the best of them, Gatorade, like make my own shirts. I wish I could do that. But for now, I'm going to start off small and just see if Planet Juice might be interested.
I like that. Starting small and then hopefully growing from there. Planet Juice is definitely one of, if not the best smoothie place I've ever been to. If you're in the San Rafael area, you should definitely check it out. So my last question, and I ask this because we're both soccer players, we're both collegiate athletes. So neither men's or women's college soccer cracks the top five in terms of sports with the top earnings from name, image, and likeness. Why do you think this is? And do you think that college soccer can one day maybe make its way into the top five in terms of top NIL earnings?
To answer that question, it just depends on the growth of the sport, to be honest with you. I think that teams like companies are more interested in going for athletes that are going to give them the best advertisement. And I do not think that a lot of Americans are aware of the best soccer college players. But they could tell you who probably is the best women's soccer basketball player or men basketball player or a football player. So it starts off there. I do hope that we're able to take the right step forward. This World Cup coming up maybe can make them more interested in players like us, which I think there's a lot of. In our game, I feel like it's very exciting. If you actually get to watch it a little bit, I would tell you it's more exciting than all those other sports. So they should be a lot more interested in us than they are at the moment being. But I do understand why they aren't at this moment being. Why are they going to be donating money? Basically, at that point, we're hoping they're donating money to us because their goal is to advertise their company. So I don't think that at this moment being, they're able to get a lot from us. But I do see us taking a step forward for sure. The game is at this, you can see at the young age now, a lot of them play the game of soccer. And in America, it's growing day by day. So in a few years, I wouldn't be surprised if we do crack that top five.
Yeah, it's definitely about the overall popularity of the sport. And right now, soccer is moving its way up, but it's just not there with the footballs and the basketballs in this part of the world, at least right now. But hopefully one day soccer moves its way into the top five, or at least becomes more popular. It's not even about name, image, and likeness earnings. It's just about the popularity and, like you said, growth of the sport. So that's one of the most important things right now. So that's it from me. Thank you again for joining me today, and maybe you'll get some Planet Juice after this, yeah?
Maybe if you go with me, but yeah, probably gonna go right now after I break my fast. Best place around.
All right, thanks, Issa. Appreciate it, man.